heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A reminder that the resource of the month, speaking of homosexuality, discussing the issue with kindness and clarity by Joe Dallas, a tremendous resource available for those who support the ministry all this month. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. You can also write us at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI, the number to dial to get your questions answered live today, as just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I'll be going to your calls in just a moment, but I want to answer this question. Should the creation of movie or cartoon characters like the foul-mouthed pansexual mercenary Deadpool be cause for celebration or concern? And the reason that I answer that question today is it is the subject of an article in a brand new edition of the Christian Research Journal out today, that cover story of the journal written by John McAteer. He's the chair of the liberal arts program at Ashford University, and the article is titled Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the Rise of the Comic Book Antihero. So what about that? Should the creation of movie or cartoon characters like this foul-mouth, pansexual mercenary be cause for concern? And I would say Deadpool is definitely cause for concern. The reason I say that is we should note that Deadpool is the second highest grossing R-rated film of all time. And thus this question is hardly insignificant. Hollywood is promising a spate of movies in this same genre because of the success. A genre that worships evil as the means to an empty or a superficial happiness. And not only that, but Deadpool ridicules teamwork and sees such virtues as the laying down of your life for a friend as an obvious absurdity. The second reason I would say we should be concerned is that moviegoers are encouraged to think of Deadpool as a hero because of his flaws, not despite his flaws. As such, when Deadpool engages in sexual perversion with his girlfriend, we are, as it were, asked to celebrate that perversion rather than be overwhelmed with a sense of foreboding in terms of what it portends. In other words, we celebrate Deadpool because of his flaws, not despite the flaws, and hold flaws up for emulation, not lamentation. One final point, and that is the movie goes so far as to ridicule the idea of heroism. And thus Deadpool is happy to be seen as super, but hardly denies being a hero. Indeed, Deadpool lauds petty revenge over heroism. Why? Because heroism is thought to be boring. So moviegoers are now being seduced from classic moral idealism to nihilistic mocking of morality and the attendant need for redemption. The article is fantastic, but there are many other great articles, including in the cultural apologetics section, The Ethics of Instagram. It's a very, very interesting article, because since the launch of the social media photo sharing app in 2010, the Trendy service has grown exponentially across a broad spectrum of users, and what precisely the appeal factors are and what the most ethical approach to using them is up for debate, and the journal is ready to debate the issue, does so in print. It's a fantastic issue of the Christian Research Journal. All of that to say, if you're not subscribing as we speak, you ought to consider doing just that. Also, a non-subscription magazine, free of charge, in other words, Equip, our magazine. You can find that. It's a newsletter on the web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Paul. He's listening in Birmingham, Alabama, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I've been in a debate with a coworker, and my question is, can a person deny the deity of Christ and the Trinity and still be saved?
Well, you know, I've often said that it is not the absence of truth that damns, it is the despising of truth that damns. If Jesus Christ is not divine, then we have a big problem because we have no hope of reconciliation with a holy God. And one of the things that you find in Scripture is the clear teaching that Jesus Christ is divine. It is peppered throughout the entirety of Scripture. So as a follower of Jesus Christ, you instantly recognize by reading his book that he is, in fact, divine. The Bible says he's divine. He says he's divine. And the very acts of Jesus Christ during the course of his earthly ministry, demonstrate that he is, in fact, God in human flesh. So if we follow the Scriptures, we know that Jesus Christ is divine. We also understand that there's one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. We may not be able to comprehend that, but we certainly apprehend that in the pages of Scripture. So if you're completely innocent, you don't know anything about these things, well, that's an absence of knowledge. But if you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, you're not absent that knowledge, you're denying that knowledge. And if you deny that knowledge, you are denying the very one who can save you. And so I would say that denying that would be tantamount to saying that you do not want a relationship with the one who has revealed himself in time and space.
Well, during our conversations, I've pointed out several different scriptures, every one that I could think of, and he'll say that I put my trust in Christ for my salvation, because it says that no one comes to the Father except by the Son. But when it comes down to him saying Jesus is God, he will not say, he completely denies any truth to that whatsoever.
Yeah, again, it's a denial of the very one who can save you. So the real issue is never the word you use. The meaning poured into the word is what is of tantamount importance. And when we talk about Jesus Christ, he himself, when he came to Caesarea Philippi, asked the disciples, the mother of all questions, "Who do you say that I am?" Well, those who say he is not God are simply unenlightened, because Jesus Christ answered that question by claiming that he is God. If you claim to be God and you are not God, you are a deceiver, and no one wants to follow a deceiver. In fact, when Jesus claimed to be God, the Jewish leaders tried to kill him, because in calling God his own Father, they said Jesus was making himself equal to God. And certainly he was. Jesus really did claim to be God. And as I said, the Bible claims Jesus Christ as God. Think about the words of the Apostle John, where he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we see in Colossians that all things were created by him. Before him, nothing was created. He is before all things, and God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Only deity has the prerogative of creation, pre-exists all things, and personifies the full essence or nature of God. And I think off the top of my head here as well about Hebrews chapter 1, where the writer of Hebrews says that God the Father himself calls Jesus God. You think about those words. But about the Son, he, the Father, says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever." So the Bible is very, very clear that Jesus Christ is God. And then think about what he did. He demonstrated supernatural authority over sickness. He demonstrated supernatural authority over the forces of nature and even death. Think about John chapter 4, where Jesus tells a royal official whose son was close to death, "Your son will live." So if you look at the four Gospels, they record how Jesus demonstrated ultimate power over death through the immutable fact of his resurrection in vindication to his claims of deity. So if you look at a comprehensive picture that the Bible presents, you cannot deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And if you do, then you have a Christ that cannot save you.
So would your advice be to continue to have dialogue with this person on that subject, even though you think you've exhausted everything that you know to go to as far as scripture-wise? What advice would you give?
Well, first of all, as I've always often said on the broadcast, it is not our prerogative to run around frantically trying to talk people into the kingdom. It is our responsibility to be equipped believers, always ready to give an answer. So if he's willing to listen, you can continue forwarding the information. But if his mind has been closed, you can tell him you love him, you're always there for him. If he wants to discuss this again at some point, you're ready. But you don't have to feel as though it is your responsibility to change someone's heart. That's the prerogative of God alone. You are the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses or may use. The Holy Spirit may use other instruments as well. But only the Holy Spirit changes the heart. So he is volitionally of the will denying what is self-evidently true.
Okay, I appreciate your advice.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Monica. She's listening in St. Joseph, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Monica.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I actually have been having an issue with a skeptic Christian. They believe in Jesus and all of that, but yet they still have doubts. And they recently brought to me something about Jesus Ben Pantera. I've had a lot of issues with, I can't wrap my mind around it, but they found a Roman soldier with Pantera's name and Jesus' father. What would I say to disprove that?
Well, first of all, the truth of that story is that it has no truth. In other words, it has no substance to back it up. But secondly, it's important to note that this would be a deal breaker for all Christians. I mean, if we found an ossuary with the bones of Jesus Christ, it would be game over for Christianity. The same thing, however, is true in this case, because Mary would have been a sexually promiscuous woman, and the Bible would be completely incorrect vis-a-vis what it is communicating with respect to the virgin birth. So all of that in toto spells the end of the Christian story. But there's no evidence for this whatsoever. What we do have evidence for is that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human origin. When we say that, it is not merely a dogmatic assertion, it's a defensible argument. You can look at the manuscript evidence by which we can get back to the autographa, the archaeological evidence which validates the people the places and even the particulars that you have chronicled in the pages of Scripture. And then you have the Bible replete with prophecy that could never be pawned off to good guessing, common sense, or just dumb luck. So the evidence that the Bible can be trusted with respect to the virgin account is overwhelming. The Pantera evidence is underwhelming at best. So anyone can come up with a theory. The real question is, does it correspond to reality? In this case, it most certainly does not. By the way, I've written about this in a book called Has God Spoken? You can find it on the web at equip.org. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
Few, if any, could have predicted it, yet the moral fabric of our culture is radically changing. What is now increasingly mainstream is a pervasive acceptance of homosexuality that was inconceivable a mere generation ago. And because of the dizzying speed of change, many Christians are ill-prepared to deal with the implications. Joe Dallas offers an informed and caring response in his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity. Receive your copy of Speaking of Homosexuality as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or go online to equip.org. Hank will be back right after the break. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. In today's culture, it seems that if you're a liberal, anything you say is protected. But if you're a conservative, anything you say is hateful. At the heart of this cultural divide is the issue of homosexuality and the increasing demands of the gay rights movement. The gay rights movement has evolved from a plea for tolerance to a demand for not only approval, but retribution. In his books, Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home, author, speaker, and counselor Joe Dallas brings his wisdom and experience to these sensitive issues in a deep and eminently practical way. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit us at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
About Joe Dallas and his new book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity, Hank Hanegraaff says, "No one understands the subject of same-sex sexuality better than my friend Joe Dallas. This book, his best yet, only confirms my conviction. I'm not speaking merely of Joe's formidable knowledge of truth, but also the wisdom of its application through crystal clear and concise communication. In the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage, Speaking of Homosexuality will equip you to engage a topic that is foundational to human civilization." Hank would like to send you Joe's book as our thank you for your support of CRI's life-changing outreaches. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Daniel, listening in Brooklyn, New York, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
All right. I called you last week, and I haven't had a chance to talk with my barber yet because he went on a little mini vacation, so got my little beard going on there, but definitely I'm going to use your answer that you helped me with last week, and I am now subscribed. I just called earlier today to the Christian Research Journal once again, so looking forward to being equipped and using the hands of the Holy Spirit.
Wonderful.
Thank you for your ministry. Yes. My question, last week I was letting my best man hear your question and answer to someone who had called about a defensible argument for Trump. And within your answer, you had talked about the lawsuit between Citizens United and the FEC. And you said that it would be detrimental to freedom of speech. So my friend, who leans more left, asked basically, why would that be detrimental to freedom of speech? And how would it affect campaign finances? I think he more takes the side of the FEC in this. And I'm not too familiar with the case. So could you just fill me in on where you stand, why you say it'd be detrimental to freedom of speech?
Well, I don't know that I'm an expert on this particular subject. I did read an article by Hans von Spakovsky, and he was talking about, first of all, the importance that the founding fathers put on freedom of speech principles. And that is why the Supreme Court's recent decision is so important. It protects those principles against those like Barack Obama, who favor a federal ban on independent political advocacy by corporations. So critics of Citizens United holding justify their opposition with a number of different assertions that the decision will allow foreign corporations to affect American elections, and that shareholders have to be protected from political expenditures by corporations in which they own shares. But if you look at those objections closely, what you find is that all of these concerns are, to borrow from Shakespeare, as Hans puts it, much to do about nothing. Beyond that, the proposed remedies raise serious constitutional concerns. I'm going to have to leave it at that. Again, this is not an area of my expertise, but there have been those who have written on this. Citizens United in the FEC lawsuit with a lot of eloquence, and you can find some really good resources, or we can point you to some really good resources on the web. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Dustin in Virginia, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Dustin.
How you doing, Mr. Hank Hanegraaff?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm a long-time listener and a first-time caller. I have a very interesting question. It's a question that emanates out of a message I heard by Doug Batchelor, who we know is a Seventh-day Adventist, and he holds to the fact that we are all in error because we don't serve the Sabbath, which he considers to be Saturday. What is your view on that, and what is your view on Doug Batchelor?
Well, I think that when you listen to Doug Batchelor, you have to be ready to eat the fish and spit out the bones. And this is a great example of bones. You don't want to get these stuck in your throat, because you have to remember that remembrance of the resurrection was the impetus for the change of the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday, and that within weeks, thousands of Jews willingly gave up a theological tradition that had given them their national identity, and that God Himself provided the early church with this pattern of worship, with Christ's resurrection on the first day of the week, as well as with the Holy Spirit's descent on Pentecost Sunday. There's another point that I think is very, very important, and that is the reason behind the symbol of the Sabbath. In Genesis, the Sabbath was a celebration of God's completed work in creation. Then after the Exodus, the Sabbath expanded to a celebration of God's deliverance from oppression in Egypt. Then as a result of Jesus' resurrection, the emphasis shifts again. It becomes a celebration of the rest we have through Christ, who delivers us from sin and the grave. For the emerging church, the most dangerous snare was always this. It was a failure to recognize that Jesus was the substance that fulfilled the symbol of the Sabbath. And so I think that we don't want to be slavishly bound to Old Testament laws. First of all, they'd be lethal to your health, because you'd be stoned if you did any work on the Sabbath. But beyond that, the greater point is that when the substance comes, we don't want to adhere to types and shadows. We must graciously and willingly absorb the seminal truth that in Christ we have our Sabbath rest. So this is not an abrogation of the Sabbath. It is an emphasis of the Sabbath on the first day of the week in honor of the resurrection, which is the hope of our own resurrection.
Okay. I appreciate your answer. I'm one of those that believe in the mantra that you preached, that as Christians we need to be ready to provide an answer, and what you've given me is what I need to be able to substantiate what I've always believed. So I really appreciate it.
You got it. Dustin, thank you for your call. We'll go back to the phone lines now. Aaron in Dixon, Tennessee, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, Hank. I got a quick question. Maybe you can help me out with a resource. I've enjoyed listening to your thoughts on eschatology, and I've read some of your writings. I really appreciate them. And I'm wanting a good resource for the latter parts of the book of Daniel, a commentary, and just hoping you could recommend someone who would be like-minded.
Well, a couple of things that I think would be helpful to you. First is, in my book, Has God Spoken, I have a very substantial commentary on the book of Daniel. I think good commentaries on the book of Daniel are really hard to come by, but if you read that section, you can also look at the footnotes and see some good resources to follow through with if you want further reading in this regard. But I think my book, Has God Spoken, is a very good source to go to. I struggled with the issue of Daniel for many, many years, so I put a lot of effort into writing what I have written, and it comes not out of just a trite idea on my part, but serious study of the matter.
Yeah, well, I've appreciated what thoughts I've heard on the radio and what I've read. I think I don't want to use the word unique, because that's probably not the best word, but I have appreciated your perspective, so I'll check into that. I sure appreciate it.
You got it. Again, the book Has God Spoken. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Dannon. He's listening in Ozark, Alabama, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Dannon.
No, it's Danny. I'm sorry. I guess the call screener didn't understand me. But
Danny?
The question I have, how are you doing, by the way?
I'm doing well. Nice talking to you.
I'm doing fine. The question I want to ask you is, I think that Paul wrote some of his verses for slow people like me. Now, in chapter 7 of Corinthians, I believe chapter 7, he says that a man is sanctified by his wife. and a woman is sanctified by her husband. Otherwise, their children would be unclean. Otherwise, they are holy. Now, I don't know if it says that word for word, but...
Yeah, that's the essence of it, yeah.
Does that mean that we are that our children are saved if we are professed Christians? Or what do you think?
No, I don't think that's what Paul is saying at all. What Paul is saying is that the unbeliever comes under special influence of the Holy Spirit as long as they live under the same roof. He's obviously not saying that the unbeliever is born again by virtue of marriage to a believer. And likewise, when Paul is talking about the children that you referenced that are born to a believer and an unbeliever, and saying that those children are holy, he's not saying that these children are born again. What he is saying is that they are set apart to reflect the holiness of God, and only time is going to tell whether or not they embrace Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives.
Okay. All right, thanks. Thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. A couple of things that I want to stress. Number one, this ministry survives only as a result of people who are desirous of standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Put another way, I cannot do what I do without you. We depend on listeners like you to stand with this ministry and with our outreaches around the world, which are very significant. Off the top of my head, I can tell you that I spoke in the West Bank not all that long ago, and in Israel. I spoke in South Korea, in Singapore, in China. There are significant works that we are involved with, even in terms of training missionaries, as I did this year in Thailand. So sometimes people think the only thing we do is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but it's just the tip of the spear. It's the tip of the iceberg. There is so much else going on beneath the surface that people are generally unaware of. We have, of course, the Christian Research Journal, the newsletter, archives of materials that go back 50 or more years. It's absolutely incredible the wealth of resources that this ministry has garnered over those years. But the biggest issue here is changed lives. Changed lives all over the world. And that's worth supporting. And that's why we're asking you specifically to stand with this ministry shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Whatever you do will not only be deeply appreciated, but used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Also, I want to mention that when you join the CRI support team, you commit to supporting the many outreaches of the Christian Research Institute worldwide with your ongoing support. In appreciation, I'll send you a personalized copy of any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. When you give electronically, it saves you time and postage. We have instant use of the resources. You can also use a credit card, a debit card, or an EFT. Check all of that out on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with the quote of the day.
Gay affirming interpretations of the Bible promoted by revisionist Christians, whether heterosexual or openly gay, challenge long-standing Orthodox beliefs about the sinfulness of homosexuality. According to revisionists, the authority of the Bible is not changed, but its message on homosexuality has been mistranslated or misinterpreted. In his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity, Joe Dallas addresses the gay Christian phenomenon and its revisionism with the careful attention it requires. To receive your copy of Speaking of Homosexuality as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or donate online at equip.org. We'll be back with more in a moment from Hank Hanegraaff.
The The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Like a tiny acorn that grows into a massive oak tree, the seeds of the sexual revolution planted in the 1960s have produced a harvest of immorality beyond imagination. Today's pervasive acceptance of homosexuality was inconceivable only a generation ago, and the dizzying pace at which sexual mores have collapsed often leaves Bible-believing Christians at a loss. The books Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home by Joe Dallas will help you engage the culture in a transformative way for Christ. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. When a family member or friend says, "I'm gay," it can be very difficult to hear, but also difficult for the same-sex attracted person to utter. In these heartbreaking situations, having the right response is crucial. Few can navigate these troubled waters like Joe Dallas. In his book, When Homosexuality Hits Home, What to Do When a Loved One Says, "I'm Gay," Joe offers experience and compassionate counsel for those whose loved ones struggle with homosexual desire. Receive your copy of When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. Let's return now to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Our quote of the day comes from Thomas Sowell. He's the renowned economist, and he's talking here about the fallacy of redistribution of wealth. The quote from Thomas Sowell: "The history of the 20th century is full of examples of countries that set out to redistribute wealth and ended up redistributing poverty. You can only confiscate the wealth that exists at any given time. You cannot confiscate future wealth. And that future wealth is less likely to be produced when people see that it's going to be confiscated." Wise words from Thomas Sowell. We have all heard, as he's pointed out, that giving a man a fish feeds him only for a day, while teaching a man to fish feeds him for a lifetime. Redistribution is give a fish and then leave the person dependent on the government for more fish in the future. If the redistributionists were really intent on being serious, what they would want to distribute is the ability to fish. Knowledge, said Sowell, is one of the few things that can be distributed to people without reducing the amount that is held by others. And that would better serve the interests of the poor, but obviously would not serve the self-interests of politicians who want to exercise power and to get the votes of people who are or have become dependent on them. You know, socialism always sounds wonderful, doesn't it? You think about Bernie Sanders, an avowed socialist who has become an icon for millennials. His idea? Redistribute wealth. Well, young people are cheering, but many seem blithely unaware of what has happened around the world. They might know a little bit about what happened under Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge, or Stalin and the 100 million people that were killed as a direct result of a bad philosophy, or Chairman Mao and the 45 million in China. But it seems that few are aware of how an oil-rich nation in the very present day that I'm speaking, a nation like Venezuela, is now reaping the whirlwind. Everything from toilet paper to beer is in short supply, and God knows they need beer today to drink away their sorrows. I mean, they have made horrible choices, and the policies have always worked very, very well for the politicians, at least temporarily well for the politicians, but the cost in human life and even in ingenuity is the dirty little secret that we're oftentimes not told. We're not told about the aftermath of these social experiments. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Adrian, Greensboro, North Carolina, WTRU. Hi, Adrian.
Hey, and God's blessings to you this evening.
Thank you.
Okay, my question is, I have two very dear friends who, mature women and within themselves, are gay and they are a couple. For my discernment, I mean, for me to kind of change anything is no, is a moot point. They're both mature women, very smart and devoted to one another. I love both of them. I think I know the answer to this question. Am I enabling them in some way by being so very acceptive of who and what they are?
Well, I think you're accepting them as friends, and you should. We should model the behavior of our Lord towards all who are lost. We should speak the truth. We should speak the truth in love, but we shouldn't repel people or reject people. These are the very people that Christ came to save. If you're lost, you need to be found, and God uses means, and you may be the means through which they follow Jesus Christ and makes his principles and precepts the guide for living their lives. And when they do that, they will come to a true valuation of things. So the church can, as has been well said, not only can but should recapture the zeal of our Lord for all the lost and sick of society, including those who are engaged in homosexual practice. And what that means is visiting their homes. It means eating with them, befriending them, speaking and acting out of love rather than hate, communicating the good news about God's rule. And then, if they repent, throwing a party. So I think we, again, have to reach as opposed to repel. And I think that's precisely what your tender heart is struggling with. You want to reach, and I think the tone of your voice makes that quite obvious.
And I love him. I love them both very, very much.
That's just wonderful. I think that's just absolutely wonderful. Good for you.
All right. Well, God bless, and thank you again so much. I'll continue to love and pray and shine a light.
You are doing exactly what we need to do. Good for you. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Michael next in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Mike. I'm sorry, Hank. I'm sorry. I've just been drawn off course with many of the recent answers that you've given from my original question. I'd like to contend that your answers somehow, although in the want of many words, there's a want of, or in the many words that you speak, there's a want of no sin. But I would contend that many of the answers that you present here are incorrect, in that God himself is actually a redistributionist. That is actually what judgment is. The wealth of the unrighteous is laid up for the righteous, and that will be redistributed. And my question is why, in your opinion, which we all have, what is your opinion as to why I, as a believer in Yahushua or Yahawashi, not in Jesus, but in the true Mashiach of Israel, why should I not pray for the destruction of America rather than to continue on and capitulating to this system of unrighteousness that has been propagated amongst the people of this country?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for your call and for the prologue to your call, even. I think it's really good to always think clearly and to not simply buy into what someone is saying, but to test what someone is saying against that which corresponds to reality. In terms of praying for the destruction of America, I couldn't help but think, as you were saying that, of what happened with Jonah. You know, the book of Jonah corrects the modern misconception of Yahweh's love in the Old Testament, which was thought to be lavished only on the Jews, and his concern for non-Jews was not expressed until New Testament times. But nothing could be farther from the truth, because as Jonah clearly reveals, Israel was not chosen as an expression of racial favoritism. Rather, they were chosen to be a light to the nations. And as such, Yahweh directs Jonah to call the evil Assyrian Empire to repentance out of his desire that none should perish. But like many today, Jonah misunderstood the calling of Israel, believing that Yahweh's blessings were reserved for the Hebrew nation alone. But what he found out was that Yahweh's patience was far greater than his own, and it revealed the eternal truth that whosoever trusts in him and repents of sin will be blessed, and whosoever rejects his grace and continues in sin will be judged. So in this case, what happens? Well, the Assyrians, they repent in sackcloth and ashes, and God relents. In other words, the Jonah judgment that God told Jonah to bring did not come about because there was genuine repentance. And Yahweh's mercy on Nineveh, of course, the capital of the Assyrian Empire, offended Jonah because the Assyrians were among the cruelest in ancient history. So he was looking at their cruelty, he was looking at their misdeeds, and he was offended that God would relent and withhold the acts of judgment. Of course, Assyria was later judged, but God withheld the acts of judgment. And so all of that is simply to say that I don't think we should be praying for the demise of our nation. We should be praying that the Lord would be merciful and that many people in our nation would have a call to repentance, and that Christians would once again exercise their role as being the salt of the earth. Because the real problem is not pagans, as I've said many times, exercising their job description. What else would they do? The problem is Christians not exercising their job description as they have been called to?
Ooh, again, your answer is salty, but I appreciate your time, sir.
Well, thank you, and thank you so much for listening. Even though we disagree, you've done me a great courtesy in being willing to listen. Thank you so much. Let's see if I can sneak in one more call. June in St. Peter's, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, June.
Hi. I just I lost my husband just a few years ago, and I often think about how it will be when we get back together, and I wonder if you could tell me anything about what that would be like.
Well, I can say this. It will be absolutely wonderful. I can also say, on the basis of the testimony of Scripture, it will exceed your wildest expectations. So however wonderful your relationship may have been on this earth, your relationship in heaven will be far greater. Now, saying that it will be far greater also means that it will be far different. Heaven is the homeland, earth is the breeding colony. So we'll have different relationships, but those relationships will be better. Better, and we cannot conceive of what that better will be. It's sort of like Lewis said, C.S. Lewis, he said, a boy eating chocolates can't imagine the intimacy that a man and a woman can have, even in terms of their carnal lusts. And so it will be in heaven. We will experience an intimacy that exceeds our wildest expectations. And so you can look forward to that, June. You will recognize your husband. You'll have a relationship with your husband better, albeit different. I've written about that in a book called Afterlife, a book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. But again, thank you so much for standing with us, shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. In today's culture, it seems that if you're a liberal, anything you say is protected. But if you're a conservative, anything you say is hateful. At the heart of this cultural divide is the issue of homosexuality and the increasing demands of the gay rights movement. The gay rights movement has evolved from a plea for tolerance to a demand for not only approval, but retribution. In his books, Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home, author, speaker, and counselor Joe Dallas brings his wisdom and experience to these sensitive issues in a deep and eminently practical way. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit us at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical.
In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.